Today is Pentecost Sunday, and I didn't title a message Pentecost Sunday, but I have a reference to that today. I titled my message today, When Religion Is Not Enough. When religion is not enough. You know, religion, you know, Satan worship is religion. You can do anything religiously, and it becomes a religion. But sometimes religion in the church is not enough. The act or the process of being religious. Amen? I think about a lot of times we as Christians, you know, I don't do Halloween, but you know how you can get these little Halloween costumes and the guys will get them and it's nothing but ripped muscles and you air them up and it looks like they're really ripped and they got big muscles and stuff. That's what I think about when I'm talking about this message, when religion is not enough, when it looks like one thing, but it's something totally different underneath. It's something totally different when you get down and you get the air out of it. When you get down to the nitty, that thing you got to stand on, that thing that really is you, that's when it's, are you grounded in Christ? That's beyond religion, amen? And so religion is a practice, and so I want to bring to you a little, I love saying this, a little short message today. If you're new here, it's the only time I can kind of get away with a white line. Amen. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, after the day of Pentecost, I give you a little background about Pentecost. Penta simply means 50, okay? It's 50 days after the resurrection. That's where Pentecost Sunday comes from. So if you were to count back 50 days, count it in, go back, it's 49 plus 1 if you go and look at the biblical terminology, but it's 50 days, counting today, go back 50 days to the resurrection, and that's what you'll find. We celebrate and we call it Easter or Resurrection Sunday. So believe it or not, it's been 50 days. Can you believe that? Wow. And so Penta means 50. And on the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, the new church. Basically, a lot of theologians, and I'm not a theologian by any means, but this is what I do believe too. It's when the new church started. That's when the era of the new covenant really began, okay? The institution of the church. New covenant began at the resurrection, okay? Because if Jesus hadn't resurrected, he's just another dead person. But he ain't. Come on, somebody. He ain't just dead. He's alive and well. And so the church was instituted, if you will, put in place on the day of Pentecost. And so that's how we have the modern church, if you will, the modern day church. And so in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, speaking on the topic when religion is not enough. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. You see religion right there, right in the first scripture. They're going to the church. They're going to pray. Amen? You come to church, to pray. You should, you can. You come to church to pray. And so you see right in the very first verse, there's this practice of religion, to do something religious. They had set up a time to go pray at the ninth hour. Now, they prayed more than one time, by the way. If you were thinking, boy, you prayed once today, they prayed all the time. Okay. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. It was a religious act that somebody took this lame man and put him at this gate every day. How would you like for that to be your best friend? Some of us cut him loose. We're going to cut them loose. Amen? Somebody took this guy religiously every day and put him at a gate. Just sitting there, and he probably took something. He had some kind of apparatus, some kind of dish or something to collect alms, probably made of clay of some sort. I would guess back then that was kind of the common pottery, the common dish substance was clay, and you would drop money in this. And so they would go. It's kind of like, let me put it to you in today's terms. It's kind of like standing on the corner nowadays. How many of you love to pull up to the corner and see those guys living? Need help? You ever seen them? Don't you just love to make eye contact with them? Not a person in this room does that. It's like, oh yeah. Need help. And they got some story, right? Come on, I'm going somewhere with it. They got a story in about two or three lines that you can piece together something about their life. It's usually need food, got a family, lost a job, we'll work for food. Not really, but we'll work for food. Come on, you see my point? And to by those three or four lines, you piece together something about that person. They need some food, they're hungry, they're out of work, got four children, whatever, and three dogs. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. You find out something that they do, and you look at their sign, and it's usually, you can tell it's worn quite a bit. I'm not beating these people up. Don't ever think that, okay? I'll tell you a story about that later. But that sign is beaten up. It's usually got some crinkles, and sometimes you have to kind of look to see what the word meant because it's been folded around. And you know what they've done with that sign? Religiously, they have went to the corner of some particular street and held up a sign religiously for help. And they still do that religiously. That alone doesn't fix them. That alone may get them through the day and give them a meal today, but that doesn't fix them when religion is not enough. And watch. So this guy's sitting at the gate called Beautiful, and he's asking alms. And who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. Peter's like me, I'm telling you right now. He sees the guy at the gate and he says, But this guy is like those annoying guys on the corner. They come up, knock on your window. You ever had that? You've never been to Little Rock then. This guy was serious about him getting what he needed. He needed some alms. He needed money. That was his way of income. Thank God he's out doing something. But religiously, he sat there and he asked for alms and from Peter and John. And verse 4 says, and fixing his eyes on him with John, so Peter's fixing his eyes on the lame man, said, look at us. Look at us. It's hard for us to say that today when we're in a $100,000 vehicle. Look at us. Do I look like I got money? Come on. When we're rolling up in air conditioners and we got more, our clothes are worth more than what they got in a week. We don't say, hey, look at us. Peter John said, look at us. Verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. How many times did I tell you to come to church expecting something? I tell you to get your hearts prepared before Sunday morning. Come expecting God to do something. Well, this guy, he's expecting to get something, but he's expecting to get something from the same old religious activity, the same old thing of doing the same process over and over. Somebody brings me here, sets me down. I shake a little clay pot. Somebody throws some money in. And so I'm expecting that. It's religion. He expected what he had been getting. Here's the problem with that. This guy needed more. He's lame. He needed something different. He needed something outside of religion. Really is what he needed. He needed to be healed. But he came expecting to get something. The something is the same old thing. Verse 6, then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have. I'm a preacher. I ain't got any money. Well, that's supposed to be funny. Some of you religious folks say, hey, man, glory to God, keep him broke, keep him humble. You don't do that here. Thank you. Amen. I need to be more humble, though. I don't need to be more broke. I've been there, and I don't like that. Thank you very much. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Oh, that raises the question, what do you have? What do you have? If you ain't got silver and gold, and that's what I'm expecting, that's the normal, that's a religious thing, what do you have? Well, I want to tell you something about what you have. What you have is what the world's searching for. See, the reason this guy here, this layman, didn't ask for something more, he didn't know to ask for more because all he had ever seen was what had been done. Throw a little change in. Throw a little change and they'd go in and practice their religious activities and come back out and he'd ask them again, can I get a little more change? You didn't put enough in last time. Can't buy much with a shekel. And so he's in this process. He's been here so long that his ideology of something more is the same old thing. And Peter and John say, we don't have what you're actually looking for, but we have what you need. In Christ, he has what you need. Some of you have been in a place, and we've been in places for so long, we don't even know what we're looking for. We don't know what to ask for. But as blood-bought, born-again children of God, we should enter into the world tomorrow on Monday and say, I have what you're looking for. I have inside of me what you are looking for, what you really need. You don't need another shot. You don't need another prescription. You don't need another doctor visit. You don't need all those things. What you need is what I have. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I can assure you the guy didn't go that day to sit in front of the gate with his little pot expecting to leave walking. If he had expected to leave walking, he wouldn't have taken his pot. He said, I'm not going to be there long. Reminds me a little story about the church that was going through a dry spell, and we'll call it Texas because they're always dry in Texas. And so in Texas, they're going through this dry spell, and the church really got excited. And they said, we have a prayer meeting. We got to pray for rain. So they get all together and start praying for rain, and all the religious folks showed up. And there was this one small girl. She's like 6 or 7. She brings an umbrella. What are you doing with an umbrella? It hadn't rained in months. I thought it was praying for rain. I thought that was what we came to do. See, she came with an expectation of what she had been in was a drought. But she said, if we're going to pray for rain, why don't we just start expecting rain? And so many times we don't get what we need because we don't know what to expect. We just expect the same old normal old, let's come to church, sing 3 songs. The preacher, he's going to preach an awesome message. Amen. Amen. And we're going to go home and hopefully his granddaughter has spoken to him about getting out on time. If you're visiting and you missed that joke, my granddaughter a few weeks ago, she said to me, Papa, you got us out on time today. It was before 12. And so I've had this plight in life to find out who told her 12 was the magic time. Come on, somebody. I'm having to reprogram that religious thing. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Well, that's amazing. Let's look back up in verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, he had always been lame. He was carried from birth by somebody else. He was somebody else's burden, if you will, from birth. But what Peter and John had was something that was supernatural. He says that he They extended the hand and they picked him up, and he immediately, is that what the scripture says? And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. A couple of weeks ago, when my little granddaughter was on a vent for 2 weeks, they said, now, when she comes off, we're going to have to take her back through therapy because she's probably lost some muscle movement and muscle memory. In the name of Jesus, get your religion over yonder. Well, we didn't have to do that. My point is, she's been here for a year and can move around and crawl and do those things. And this guy has never, ever, ever walked. But it didn't say that he needed therapy. The church would pray for the lame man and say, praise God. I tell you what, we're going to have the church van come by, and tomorrow we're going to take you to therapy because I believe God's healing you. Therapeutic. Nothing wrong with those things. If you're one of those physical therapist people, amen, praise God. I may have to come to you sometime, amen. Hopefully not today. Amen. But they see the idea, the religious idea was, we have a plan if God don't work. If this God thing doesn't work, we have a plan B. We'll go to a therapist to teach you how to walk. But see, what Peter and John had on the inside of them was the Christ, the head, the Alpha, the Omega, the healer. And he said when he touched them through the power of the Holy Spirit, he got up and immediately his feet and ankles, they worked. Well, y'all didn't get excited as I thought you'd get about it. I said his feet and ankles worked. If your feet and ankles are not working, guess what? When they start working, you get excited. So he's excited. He says it began to work in verse 8. And so he leaping. He leaping stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Here's where religion kicks in. Yep. We pray for him in the parking lot. They get healed and say, now calm down a little bit. It ain't that serious. People going to think you nuts if you walk in here leaping and praising the Lord. Easy. Calm down. It's all right. Where's the ushers? Let's get these. He needs to just take him in the back. He's something wrong with him. He's too excited. We're a religious group. We're not a Jesus following group. He got, whoo. Religion will keep you bound down. Religion will keep you in your bubble thinking that God can only do certain things. I want you to know that God can do anything he so chooses. When God said, the Bible says that when he spoke things into existence from something that did not exist. I don't know about you, but that tells me he's a supernatural God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whomever he wants, at his discretion. He is sovereign. He has providence over everything, but yet he lets you so get involved in the situation. Religion, it's not enough. Verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Anybody ever seen a healing? Well, I've actually seen that. I've witnessed that. I've witnessed a for real healing. I'm not talking about brother, I got a headache. Will you pray for me? And then 3 weeks later, how's that headache? Oh, it went away. Well, they'll typically go away on their own anyway if you just hang tight. Okay? You see what I'm saying? But a genuine healing, a genuine move of God. I'll tell you what we witnessed today, I can show you 7 miracles. Yeah, amen. We had 7 people get baptized. The baptism in itself wasn't a miracle. The miracle actually took place when they said, Lord, come into my heart, live in my heart. I want to serve you. Now, that was a miracle. Why? Because that's something you can't do on your own. That's something that a supernatural God had to perform 2,000 years ago on a cross and said, I will be the sacrifice. And if you put your trust in me, you can be saved. I've never seen saved. I've never seen Jesus. I've never held Jesus' hand. I've never been to heaven. But by faith, I believe that it is true. Why? Because he's a supernatural God, and he's much bigger than me. So if I can believe for that, I can believe for anything. But you know what? That's outside religious activity. The lame man was well known around the temple. We find that in verse 10. He was well known. The lame man no doubt had some regular supporters. Sound like the church. Well known around town, we got regular supporters. The problem with regular supporters is that they are just as used to you being lame as you are. They're just as used to you being there at that gate, being lame, being the same old way as you are. If they weren't there, you'd say, well, what happened to the lame man? Where'd he go? I wonder what happened. Never would it enter our mind, I wonder if Jesus healed him. I wonder, did that guy get healed? I wonder if my prayers reached heaven and he got healed. I just wonder. What happened to that guy? You ever wonder what happened to people in your lives? What happened to that person? Where'd they go? Where are they at now? Are they in church? Do they love the Lord? Religion, if we're not careful, will separate us from people. And we become religious ourselves. Religion. The Holy Spirit looks at where you are and says there's hope beyond your current situation. The question is, do you want to be free from that? Not a person in this room, not one person, doesn't have something that has a hold on you that you're trying to get rid of. I'm not talking about not being saved. Something totally different. What about these things? Do you have covetousness in your heart? Do you have envy? Do you have jealousy? Do you tell a lie every now and then? Well, does one liar make you a liar? Well, let me just tell you this. If you're having trouble with God being a healer, does one healer make you a healer? Because if one lie makes you a liar, one healing makes him a healer. Come on, somebody. You ever healed anybody? That's what I thought. You ever saved anybody? That's what I thought. It's all him. It's all him. Do you hear what I'm saying? I said, it's all him. He is not religious. You know, you understand, I'm going to burst some people's bubbles this morning because I love you. And even the people in this church, you know, denominations are not of God. Denomination is not in the Bible. You know what denomination is? Religion. I don't like that, so let's start our little group over here and we'll do it this way. Well, I don't like what they're doing. I like most of that, but I'm going to start my little group over here. Well, I don't like that, so I'll just start a little group over here. And now we have titles. One of the greatest divisions among Christian people in the world is denomination. Guaranteed. Nothing will divide a body of Christ being everybody that's saved faster than denomination. They ain't got the right name on the church door, on the sign. They don't believe everything we believe. They don't do it the way we do it. Well, that's religion. Why don't we do it like Christ did it? Why don't we get so in tune with Christ like Peter and John at the day of Pentecost and just get so full of whatever he has, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call him, because it's different in different denominations. The Spirit. Don't call it the Holy Ghost in some churches. He ain't got Holy Ghost. That's demonic. Same thing. And let the Holy Spirit so infiltrate your religious thoughts and your religious spirit that you can go to someone and say, I don't have what you're looking for, but I have what you need. I have the truth, the gospel. I have it for you. I have it. The layman probably had heard what happened at the day of Pentecost. I mean, this is right here together. Probably the next day, maybe within a day or so, because they're going to the temple, they're all there. Acts chapter 2 was just right before this. So he probably heard, man, there's just something going on over there. There's these bunch of drunks over there, and they're having church. Well, ain't a drunk can't have church, that's for sure. Drunk ought not even be at church. I mean, what's wrong with that church over there? Give me a house full, and let's get them converted. Come on, somebody. He probably heard what had happened, and he says, I've heard a little bit about this guy, you know, because he's at the gate, beautiful, where they went to the temple to worship. I'm sure there's been some discussion about Jesus. This Jesus of Nazareth guy going around healing folks. And he heard that this outpouring of something miraculous, something was just, wow, what is this? And he had probably heard this, and he was wondering, I wonder if this is what's going to happen to me. I wonder if they really got what they said they got. If they really got into it, man, I hope so, because I've been lame and I'd like to maybe walk. If you walk really good, most of you don't think about walking, do you? Billy got a snicker. You could preach right there, couldn't you, Billy? You could take over right there. See, it may not be a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to some. But because of our religion, we let so many people stay where they are and never come out because we're too religious. What if God really takes over? How are we going to explain that? Let me give you a little insight, newsflash. You don't explain God. You don't have to explain God. You don't have to defend what God does. It's like they say about the lion in the cage. You don't have to defend the lion. Just open the door. He'll do the rest. That's what God does. You don't defend God and what he does. You don't have to explain how something supernatural happened. It's supernatural. You can't explain it. The word is supernatural. It's beyond your natural thought process. He's God. He can do what he wants. When he wants, to whomever he wants, for as long as he wants to. He's still working on me. Can I have someone to the piano? I'm not picking on a religion. This is just a thought. This is a statement that I came across. Since the Pope, while counting the offering at the Catholic Church with Thomas Corinius, said, "We can no longer say, silver and gold have I none." We can do that at this church. We can no longer say that because of your faithfulness. Thomas Corinius replied, "Neither can we say, rise up and walk." I'd rather be without the money, but have the power and the ability to say, rise up and walk, and it happened, than I had to have a bank full of money, because a bank full of money is just a bank full of money, and churches get so religious, we're not going to spend that. We think we're in the banking business somehow. Oh, I'd love to get a hold of some of those deacon meetings and deacon councils and say, where in the Bible does it tell you to store up all this money to not spend? If you took that money and you put it toward the kingdom work, you'd see things change in your community. You'd see things change in Washington, but the church is so hoarded up on money, saying we got to keep it all for ourselves. Well, you just keep doing that, and you'll just keep staying right there, and people will keep coming to your church, and they'll keep looking for something, and you'll throw them a little crumb, and they leave, and they hadn't found what they need. I'm ready for the church. And why not today? Day of Pentecost, day of change, a day when something changed. I mean, forever changed. Why not the church? Let's get out of the religion. All religion could do for the lame man was to offer him something that he did not, that did not fix his problem. You can throw money at someone who can't manage money till you run out of money. And when you stop doing that, somebody else will have to throw money at them. because you didn't fix the problem. You have to teach them how to manage money. You can come and get saved, but if you don't get in your word and learn how to live a Christian life, you're just spinning this little wheel and you're thinking it's somebody else's fault if the preacher would preach better. Well, this is the best I got. You might have to go down the road, but this is it. This is it. All I'm preaching is the word. If that's not enough, you're religious. I said, if that's not enough, you're religious. You're running in the religious hamster wheel. He may have gotten a little money every day, but at the end of every day, they didn't have email back then, if you were wondering, young people. That just started a few years ago. They didn't have cell phones. This guy just sat there because he was at the mercy of somebody else to come pick him up. That would freak some of you parents out. My child's got to have it. She's three. She got to have a cell phone so she can call me. Where's your three-year-old at that she ain't with you? Oh, I could preach here for a while, too. That's another message. My seven-year-old granddaughter does not need a cell phone to call me if she's in trouble. Come on. Because I know she's going to be with her parents or with people that we trust. Come on. That's a message later on. Genesis 1:27. I'm going to hurry. Genesis 1:27. Josh, we had a long conversation about this for the last week. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. That says a whole lot in just that one scripture. If you're wondering, that's another message. But you're created in the image of God. Look up the word image, and it says a resemblance, a look-alike, if you will. Now, I know God doesn't look like this. He's more handsome. But the idea of the image is not necessarily what I look like, it's the function of Christ. He created, because if you notice, he said in Genesis, he said, now I want you to do reproduction. I want you to reproduce. Christ says, I've produced the first, you take it over from here. I've created these animals, and I want you to take care of them. We're in his image in the process, okay? If you're created in the image of God, do you understand that you have a lot more potential than what you're actually and currently experiencing? Do you understand where you're at? If you're not being a reproductive Christian, something's wrong. You're created in the image of God Almighty, the supernatural God. I'm not telling you that you're God because you're not. I'm telling you you're created in an image. You are to mirror what he has set forth. How are we doing as a church? How are you doing as a Christian to your influence, your sphere of influence? How are you doing? How would God do it? Probably a little different, wouldn't you think? Maybe just a touch. Or maybe you're the perfect Christian. If you think you're the perfect Christian, may I tell you that you are religious? And religion is not enough. It takes a supernatural God. I want to read something and we're going to close. I think I am. There's this song that I have grown. I just love this song. It's awesome. I am not going to sing it. I want to read the lyrics to you. It's by Megan Woods. It's called Truth or Truth Is. says this: how many times can you hear the same lie before you start to believe it? How many times do you think the lame man heard that same? You're just lame. You're always going to be lame. Here's a few pennies. Here's a few shekels. Oh, you're always going to have that problem. You got saved. You had that problem. You're always going to have that problem. Yeah, you're never going to get out of that. You know, it's just a cycle. Tell you what I'll do, though. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to just kind of wait over here, and I'm going to watch you for like a few weeks and just see how you do. I'll pray for you, but I'm not going to come along beside you and disciple you. I just want to pray for you. You know, I'm religious. I just think we ought to pray for you. Let's just pray for them. You know what? Most of the time when we say we're praying for people, that's the bottom of it. Not that there's, listen to me when I tell you this. That's the least you can do. You should be doing that anyway. There's power in prayer. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, well, we're just going to pray for you. What about having a Bible study with somebody? What about having a one-on-one time and saying, man, you ought not do that. Sir, ma'am, whatever. You ought to do it this way. Let's go to the Word of God and see what the Word says. Well, preacher, I'm too religious for that. I got things I want to do on my own. Oh, you'll have plenty of time. You'll have plenty of time to do all those things. The enemy keeps whispering to me, and I swear these days it's all that I'm hearing. Boy, I've been there. I used to know who I was. Now I look in the mirror and I'm not sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to these lies anymore. First thing, whoever this song was written to, is you got to quit listening to all that religious stuff, because religion's got you where you are. It ain't enough. Quit listening to all that. Then it goes on to say this. Truth is, I am my Father's child. I make Him proud and I make Him smile. Do you make God smile? You think you make God proud? Woo! Just the thing, the very idea that heathenistic me makes God smile. Sometimes it's a smirky smile. Oh, boy. Boy, boy, boy. We need to talk. Just to think that I'm His and I make Him proud. Watch. I was made in the image of a perfect king. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory to God. There's some perfectness about you. You're made in the image of a perfect king. You ought to be shining it. You ought to be reflecting it. You ought to have a resemblance of a perfect king as much as you can being in the flesh. How you doing? How you doing with that? He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. I look in the mirror and say, could change a few things. Shave a little here, put a little here, put a little here. I can change some things. Because no. I'm proud of you just the way you are. I'm not religious about you saying, boy, I'm going to change this and this and this. Look, when He gets ready to change you, He can change you. Don't get religious about it. Don't get legalistic about it. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is, I'm truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough. Come on, somebody. You're never good enough. You're not going to be good enough. But in Him and His righteousness, you're made good enough. I don't belong to the lies. I belong to you, and that's the truth. Some of you need to settle that in your heart. I don't belong to that. I belong to Him, and He's got a different plan. It may be a deformity where you're at, but guess what? In all things, you belong to Him, and you give Him glory no matter what. Our job is to give Him glory, okay? When I feel like there's so much noise living rent-free in my head. Remember I tell y'all on Wednesday night, me and Jeffrey, where's Jeff? Jeff, we got this thing. We refuse to rent space in our head to people that don't help us and don't help us grow and move forward. Why? Because it's not good. Heaven finds me in a still small voice, and it sounds like grace instead. Whoo! Grace and mercy. I constantly thank the Lord for His long suffering toward me. You know what that means? He suffers long, because I do a lot of long, crazy stuff. And He's long-suffering toward me. He's long-suffering toward you. Don't give up on Him, because He's not giving up on you. It just sends me through the roof, gets me so aggravated that the devil has convinced people to give up on God and I'll just do it my way. Well, your way stinks. Your way's got you where you are. Try God. He's not giving up on you. He's in your corner. He's like the boxing match. Rocky used to come out and the trainers were in the corner and they were cheering him on and he was getting the snot beat out of him. And he'd come back bloody over in the corner and they'd wipe him off and say, "You're doing good, you're doing good." And I said, "You're lying." He'd put some stuff up his nostrils and wake him up, cut his eyelashes, and then say, "Get back in him. You can do it. You can do it." And everybody that's ever watched Rocky movies gets so excited, and you know the end, and you're thinking, "Ooh!" And you're just in your chair, just. You've only seen it 100 times. That's what God does for you. He's in your corner saying, "Get up and get back in there. I'm with you. You're not going to be defeated. I promise you, I've seen the end of the book. I've written it for you. You're going to win. Get in there. Throw another punch." That's what He says. But religion says, "Well, you got a busted eye and nose. Won't you just throw in the towel? You never, ever, ever see a trainer of a boxer so easily and quickly throw in the towel. They may raise it and he'll be getting beat up and they pull it back. You know why? Because they believe in the training methods that have been given to the boxer. And they say, "I've trained him well. I've trained him right. If he'll do what he's told, he'll win this match." You know what? If you'll get in God's word and do what He says, He's training you good. Get your hind end up and you come to church and you get involved and you get in God's word and you listen to this old preacher preach. And I tell you, we can get you through. You may come with some bruises and you may be beat up and you may be black and blue and you may have all your teeth knocked out, but praise God, you can make it through. You can get through if you'll say, "I'm going to stay with God." The song goes on to say this. "You remind me who I am." Come on, somebody. Tell us, instead of telling somebody who they used to be, tell them who you are. What'd I tell you the other day, Josh? You made an image of a king. Remember I told you that. You made an image of a king. You got more potential than what you think, son. You made an image of a king. What if we start telling people that are struggling, going through things? "You made an image of the king. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I know your father. He's mine. Are you going to make it? Well, what would that do? Well, first thing, you need to take that old religious spirit out of you. Come on, because that religious spirit says, "Well, we're just going to see what's going to happen." I'm preaching better than your amen and me. "When I look in the mirror and I'm not sure." Come on, somebody. "Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is, I am my father's child. And I make him proud. And I make him smile." Hunter, will you find that video? Man, I'm putting these guys are awesome. Venetia, somebody. Because we're going to leave to that in a minute. I'm pretty planned, but today that wasn't it. "I was made in the image of a perfect king. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is, I'm truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough. And I don't belong to the lies, I belong to you." And that's the truth. If you come and giving your heart to the Lord, You don't belong to the world. You belong to Him. If you truly repented and said, Lord, I want to serve You and forgive me of my sins, you belong to Him. I don't know about you, but I belong to Him. And in that, I look in the mirror and I ain't really happy, but I belong to Him. I'm still His. He still loves me. He's still proud of me. That's who I'm talking about, this God. Truth is, I'm a Father's child. Here's the truth. I'm a Father's child. Oh, by the way, I'm a Father's child. When the devil's wearing you out and beating you up and punching you in the nose, and you just had all you can stand because you've been believing those lies, you need to wake up and say, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a Father's child. I am my Father's child. I'm not giving up. You know the cool thing about the prodigal son? This is not in your notes. The cool thing about the prodigal son, he realized that his dad hadn't given up on him in the pig pen. He wasn't sure what it was going to look like, but he had something in his head that said, I can go back and at least be a hired servant of my father. At least I can go back there. What did the father do when he got back there? He did what I did the other day when my little granddaughter came home after 4 weeks in the hospital. I said, we're killing the fatted calf. Hallelujah. Somebody killed it. It wasn't me. We bought him at Sullivan's. Come on, somebody. We celebrated. Baby girl coming home. Do you know God kills the fatted calf for you? Come on in. There's plenty. My wife says, I have 4 steaks. I said, we have 1 hunter. That ain't enough. I bought 8 more. Why? Because we killed the fatted calf. God kills the fatted calf. God sees you and says, that's my son. Let me tell you something else real quick. I know it's unscripted, but I'm gonna hurry, maybe. Not only did the father fall on him and kiss him. Don't be doing that. Keep it on the level at this church. Not only did he fall on his neck and kiss him, he said, hey, bring the rope. Wasn't a robe hanging on the backside of the bathroom door. No, it was daddy's robe. Bring me the rope. Come here, son.
Ooh, religion says he didn't take a bath. He put a perfectly good, clean robe on someone who'd been in the pig pen. He was stinking.
Yeah, that's religion. It's like you and your religion, it stinks. He put the robe on him. On this is the best of all. This is the best of all. And he gave him, watch, he gave him a ring. A signet ring. You know what the ring symbolized in Old Testament? Today, the equivalence is the power of attorney. He gave the son who had went away, done all kinds of stuff, come back, put a robe on him, and gave him a ring and says, I give you a power of attorney. Do you understand that Christ has given you power of attorney? You walk in his likeness and his image. You should be Christ-like. You've got power of attorney. Well, preacher, I don't know about all that. Well, ask Peter and John, did they heal the person? They didn't. Had power of attorney, though. Well, that stopped back then. Show it to me. If that's you, I just want to ask you to pray with me. Hallelujah. I make him proud, I make him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect king. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is, I'm truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, I belong to you. And that's the truth. If you're saved, you belong to the King. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Will you stand with me across this building? Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I got stuff going on in my life. If you'll just bow your heads and close your eyes, we're going to pray. Pastor, I just need you to pray. I got some stuff going on in my life. I need prayer. I just need to get out of this religious thing. I need to walk again, if you will. I'm tired of sitting at the old gate, getting the same old thing, same old results, and nothing changing. I need an encounter with the Lord. Religion's not enough for me, preacher. Religion's just not enough. It's not working for me, if that's you. Will you just slip up your hand all across this building? Will you just slip up your hand? Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Hands just everywhere. Hands. I see that hand up in the balcony. I see that. Hands everywhere. I need more. I don't need religion. I need the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, just as the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell upon people and it changed them forever. It has forever changed society. This thing we call the gospel of Jesus Christ, not denomination, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, because there is no other name, number one, by which men can be saved. But there's no other name that has healing in it, that has deliverance, that can break strongholds. And so, Father, I'm asking you, with your power of attorney, to minister to people, to touch them today, to heal and deliver and set free today in the name of Jesus. Break the chains of bondage. Break strongholds. Your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. Lord, let people be free today. Let them have liberty from religion. Let them have liberty from strongholds. Let them have liberty from bondages today, God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for what you're doing. Lord, every hand that was raised, you saw them today, God. You saw it today. You saw the hearts of those who wanted to raise their hands and didn't. Lord, be long-suffering toward them and minister to them. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Let it be so, Lord. Hallelujah. Hunter, did you find that song? Amen. Here, I want you to just kind of, we're just going to dismiss here. I'm going to bless you, and then we're going to play this song, and you can kind of hang around, and we're going to dismiss. I know that's different. If you're visiting here today, and you say, well, that's weird. Well, we're weird. I'm a weird person, okay? It's not the church. I'm just a weird person, amen? You can get your license and get you a church, and glory to God. How you doing? Amen. Come on, Hunter, let's play that song. I'm going to bless you. Father, we just ask your blessings upon us, that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man, that prosperity, job promotions, increases and raises would come our way, and that peace would blanket every rooftop, so that when we lay down this afternoon or tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen. Amen.